If you'd like to, you can turn back to our devotional reading this morning. This is a passage that I'll be preaching from, John chapter 11, verse 36. John chapter 11, verse 36. This verse, these words, jumped out at me this week, and I know this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's embedded in our minds, most of us from our youth, concerning Christ raising Lazarus from the dead. Shortest verse in Scripture is here in our text, Jesus wept. There's so much in that, those two words, that more than I can mine out, I'm sure. But the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed here as a man of compassion, tenderness, sweetness, beauty, love. And I want to know all about him. I can, don't you? I want to know how he thought, what he thought, how he felt. I want to know all the things he did and why he did them. I just want to know him. I want to know him, all about him. He just is a very desirable person to know. He's the only man that ever lived that had no sin. And in him is a beauty that we find in none other. He's just so gracious and so kind and so gentle. And I want to see him, and I want you to see him. I want to know him. I want to tell you everything I know about him. Everything that God in his grace will show me in the Scriptures concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us just to gather around him and look at him and study him. And you know, he's revealed to his people. What a gracious condescension that he'd reveal himself to such a worthless lot as us and permit us to think on him rightly. He's an amazing man. An amazing man. Very real man. This shows so much of his humanity, his perfect humanity, his love for his people as a man. I know he's God. I'm not taking away from his Godhead, but this wonderful person was made flesh. He was a living, breathing, passionate human being. He manifested all that we should be and all that perfect humanity would be. And I want to know what this is saying. The Jews even recognized there's something different about him. Did you notice that? And what was the one thing that really got their attention? That's what I saw here. I'd never seen it exactly like this before. The Jews said, behold how he loved him. Behold how he loved him. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ weeping. And they said, behold how he loved him. The passion of Christ astounded the Jews. Me too. I want to know the mind of Christ and how that love operates and how it affects what he does, what he did, and what he does. Why did he do what he did? Why did he go to the tomb of Lazarus. Why did he weep? What these Jews saw was on the surface. They just saw him weeping and they said, "Behold how he loved them." I want to know why he wept. Really, why he wept. He wept because of love. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read one passage to you, one verse that is most amazing and I think is pertinent to this subject and this passage. When our Lord prayed in John chapter 17, he said in verse 23, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Terry, I still don't understand that. Not completely. Not completely. I've read that. I've read everything that I can get my hands on concerning that verse that other men has seen and wrote concerning. I've listened to messages preached from that very particular verse. And still, I stand in wonder. I believe it, and I drink it in like a thirsty man drinks water. But I still stand in amazement at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Jews did when they saw the Lord Jesus weep, and they said, "Behold how he loved him." If you're one of his this morning, if I am, I want to tell you this from the outset. He loves you. He really loves you. And he loves me. The first thing I see here concerning this verse, this story, what brought the Jews to say what they did when they saw him weep, is the humanity of Christ. Jesus wept. God don't weep. But boy, we do, don't we? You say, "Well, I thought he was God." He is God. He was God. But he's also man. God can't die, but Christ did. God doesn't weep, but the Lord Jesus Christ wept. He loved us so much that he became what we are. He became flesh with passions. He had a heart that hurt. The scripture said his spirit was troubled in him. And he looked at those whom he loved. He looked at Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And he saw their sorrow. And he shared it with them. He became, as it were, one with them. And as they wept, tears fell from his heart because of his love. Because of his love for them. We see here his humanity. Jesus wept. Behold, why does he weep? Because he loves. That is the only reason the Lord Jesus Christ wept. You, sir, you read this, study it, run references on it. Read all you. The only reason the Lord Jesus Christ wept is because he loved. Because he loved. In 1 John 4:2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." This was a man a real man, a man in the flesh, a man that loved. A man that loved and wept. In John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And this is not just that He, as a man of flesh, lived and walked and ate and things of that nature, but He dwelt among us. Do you get that? There's a difference. He dwelt among us. When He stood at the tomb of Lazarus and Mary and Martha was by His side, He dwelt among them. He was not just there as an observer or as a man there to perform a miracle, but He dwelt among them, among His people. He dwells among us, His people, and every sorrow, every trial, every affliction, He dwells among us. He is there. He's our pillow. He's our covering. He's the one that lays down by our side and embraces us in His arms like we do our little children and comforts us. He is among us. If you are His, He is among you. He's with you. Doesn't that make that verse of Scripture that says, He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. Even to the end of the world, He's among us. In that darkest hour. Even in death, He's among us. He makes that crossing of Jordan, that chilly hand of death, a place of peace, tranquility, and of comfort, because He is among us. He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. What is His chief glory? Of course, is His holiness, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is holy. He's that holy thing. In Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He's holy. Hebrews 7:26, for such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He's holy. But you know what? Now hang on to your seats. His love, most perfectly manifest the heart, the soul, the person, the being of the Lord Jesus Christ to His people than any other attribute. His love. His love is adorned with His holiness. His love is holy. That's true. We speak of the grace of God. If it weren't for the love of God, there would be no grace shown. We speak of the mercy of God. He delighteth in mercy. His mercy endureth forever. He said, I will be merciful, but no, not without His love. His love moves him to be gracious. His love moves him to be merciful. His love is so strong and so great, it moved him to stand among earthlings. And tears fall from his heart. Never doubt. If you're his child, never doubt his love for you. You say, well, look at the things I do, the things I think. It does not change his love. Oh. This is too high for me, guy. Too deep or something high. I get lost in it. The love of Christ. Here is the God-man. The Holy One of Israel. The Ancient of Days. Standing in a graveyard. Amongst a sinful race. And his heart was moved with compassion and love. And he wept. Behold how he loved him. And that's what I'm trying to behold by his grace this morning. Behold how he loves you and me. His chief manifestive glory definitely beyond any argument, debate, his chief manifestive glory, virtue, attribute, characteristic is his love. It is. In 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed. Now listen. We've known and believed the love that God has to us. And this, the wording of this. This reason I like the King James so much. It's so straightforward, so honest. It's just the wording. Didn't say that his love for us. It does in other places. But he says here his love he hath to us. His love he has to us. His love he has to us. I never say that to you. I love to you. I have love to you. It's always I have love for you. I love you. He says all these things. But here in this passage, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. His love is manifested to us. To us. We would have no way of knowing his love for us were he's not love to us. It's to us. He's manifested that love to us. His love was performed to us. It did a work to us. God is love. He is love. The Lord Jesus Christ manifested the flesh, displayed gloriously, wonderfully, the love of God. Behold how he loved him. The Lord Jesus Christ, his love for us is heart love. And what I mean by that, it's not just words. It's heart love. And I was thinking about this. I remembered Psalms 22:14. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke in the Old Testament scriptures, and he said, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Now, what kind of a heart was that? Do you know why he died? Do you know why he died? He died because he loved me. His heart melted like wax. Have you ever, and this is a poor illustration, I don't know how to even illustrate or make a comparison here, but this is the best I can do. Have you ever loved someone, a child or a father, mother, a spouse? You loved them so much that you thought your heart was just going to burst. I mean, it got physical. Your heart, something inside you. I don't think it's this thing pumps blood. I don't know if it was or not. I don't know how to explain. But you felt like you just... the love and the passion you had for this person, the heart passion, was just almost more than you could endure. We don't feel like that all the time. That's not to say we don't love all the time. But there's times, there's moments that this has probably happened to you. I know it has happened to me. I know my mother, when she was sick, I can remember this more plainly at the moment than I can anything else right at the time. But anyway, I knew she was dying. And I stood and looked at her. And I began to recall her love for me, her selflessness. And that love that I had for her, I thought my heart was going to explode. This is the Lord Jesus Christ loves his children so much that his heart melted like wax. As he stood at the tomb of Lazarus and looked at Mary and Martha, saw their sorrow, he wept. His love is heart love. He loves. Have you ever told somebody, I love you with all of my heart? We mean that. I mean, I hope we do. We mean, I love you with all my heart. That it gets, you know, you get to think about it. You can overanalyze things, I know, but we mean that we love them greatly. But let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ loves his children, loves his people with all of his heart. As the Father loves the Son loves the Father, so loves he his people. And this love, behold how he loved him. Do you know how he loves you and me? With an everlasting love. Everlasting love. Never did begin, never will end. That's a long time, ain't love? If you love somebody, you begin to love them sometime. I've even heard people say, I'm trying to learn to love somebody. You don't learn to love, folks. You either love them or you don't. And sometimes folks can treat you so bad and do you so bad that you just don't love them anymore. I know that's bad, but it's just a truth of this fallen nature. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you can be sanctimonious if you want to, but it's so. Nothing changes God's love for his children. Nothing changes Christ's love for his people. Jeremiah 31 And three, I thought about reading this whole passage in Jeremiah, but I'll not. I'll just read you the one verse. The Lord hath appeared unto me of old. Has he appeared to you? Oh, I wish he would appear to us today, don't you? Do you know what I want to hear him say? Do you know what I wish he'd say to you and to me? He hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've loved you. I love you. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. I've drawn you. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. How's he draw us? With love. With love. He draws us with love. He don't draw us to a doctrine. He don't draw us to a creed. He doesn't draw us to catechisms and confessions. He draws us to himself. Come unto me, he said. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you find rest to your souls. Soul rest. Why did he say that? Remember this when you study the scriptures. I'm learning all the time. I don't know near as much as I thought I did. But you know why everything he's done. When he said that, come unto me. Do you know why he said that? Not just so there'd be another seat filled in heaven, or so I believe a doctrine. He said that to me because he loved me. When he said, come to me. Because he loved me. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. Lord, please don't let me ever use the gospel as a baseball bat or a whip. He don't drive his children to himself. He draws them with love. Everlasting love. Thirdly, I want to look at the expression of this love. And all these things go together. They overlap. They're inseparable. So don't try to spend any time trying to get it all in its place. Because it's in place. The expression of his love. You know, we express our love sometimes by words. Sometimes we send flowers. Sometimes we send cards. Sometimes we pick up the phone and call those we love. We go visit them. We give them gifts. But what about the expression of the love of Christ? This supersedes and goes beyond our wildest, greatest imaginations. The expression of the love of Christ for his children, I think we find in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, as well as multitudes of other scriptures. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet sometimes for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love. You see, it's there. It's all over the place. It's all through the scriptures. It's everywhere. This is God's love letter to us. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Somebody said, well, I believe that. I believe Christ lived and died and rose again to send back to the Father. Almost everyone believes that. As truth, they believe it theoretically, doctrinally. But oh, how many really enter into that and see the love of God, heart love, his passion for us? Huh? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God. How do we perceive it? What is the expression of his love? Because he laid down his life for us. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay it down. I give it. First John 4:9-10, and this was manifested the love of God toward us. To us, toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. You're not going to heaven because you love God. Let's get this straight. You're not going to heaven because you love God. He don't bless you because you love him. You're going to be in eternal glory, and you're blessed because God loves you, if he does. That's just so. Hereby we perceive the love of God. The love of God was manifested. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the substitute for our sin, the payment for our sin, satisfaction for our sin. All study the scriptures, see if this is not so. The only motive that there could be, that's given in the scriptures, that there could be for the Lord Jesus Christ doing what he did, the only reason was his love. I know their justice must be satisfied. He must be glorified. He must remain holy. All of these things are so. And they need to be preached. Need to be declared. But his love, we would never be justified did he not love. We'd never be glorified did he not love us. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. In the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us. In John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. That means they are in agreement. That's what that's saying. They are in agreement about this thing. God doesn't love someone that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't love. And they were in agreement, covenant agreement. And this covenant was an everlasting covenant, but more than that, it was a covenant of love. It was a covenant of love. Even as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In other words, to ad lib, the Father said, I love them. The Son said, I love them too. They're sinners. But we love them. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll go I'll lay down my life for them. I'll pay the ransom. I'll redeem them. I'll justify them. I'll wash them. I'll make them white. I'll draw them. I'll call them. I'll bear that responsibility because I love them. You're justified because God loves you if you're justified. In John 15, 12, 13, listen to this. This is what I'm saying. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he said, you're my friends. You're my friends. And lastly, quickly, in this, behold how he loved him. I want to see the effect of his love. The effect. Love always has an effect. It always does. Always has an effect. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus said when he came out, he saw much people, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. You see, the effect of God's love moved the Lord Jesus Christ in compassion toward those. The effect of Christ's love moves him to us. We are objects. His people are objects of his love, of his affection, of his compassion. He's moved in love toward us. When God sent the gospel to you and to me, when he sent the truth, when he sent his spirit, when he awakened us out of our death, spiritual death, and he gave us light, revealed himself to us, he was moved by his love. His love sought us. His love bought us. His love sought us. His love found us. And his love secures us. The effect of Christ's love. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Remember I said, were it not for God's love, there'd be no mercy. He said, he's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. We're regenerated, given life because of his love. And his love is shown in the act of his mercy and in the accomplishment of our regeneration. And has raised us up together, quickened us together, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. And that's the same thing. God's kindness is the same thing as his love. And his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. In Romans 8, verse 31 through 39, the effect of his love. Behold how he loved him. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He's for us in love. His love is for us. You know, if you love someone, you'll do just about anything for them, won't you? The Lord Jesus Christ didn't do just about anything for us. He did everything for us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then the next question. And what a place to put the next question. We talk about justification, not being under any condemnation. Who shall lay anything to our charge? Listen to this next question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There it is again. All of these things are because of his love. Shall tribulation? No. Or distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. It doesn't stop there. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That distress, that persecution, that sickness, that peril, that sword that you're going through, if you're his, you're going to conquer it. We are more than conquerors through him that loves us. It's not going to get the best of you. Sometimes you feel like it is, but it ain't. I sometimes feel like sin has just got me and gone with me. Unbelief and doubt and self just. You know what I'm talking about? That don't stand a chance against him that loved me and gave himself for me. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I'm persuaded. Oh, I wish I could be persuaded all the time in my mind, don't you? But I'm persuaded. And that's the very reason for a message like this morning. It's for our persuasion. It's for our assurance. Those that know Christ. I'm persuaded. Now, this is the Word of God. That neither death. That's a pretty strong thing, death is, isn't it? Nor life. That's another strong thing, is life in this world strong. Its influences, its affections, its natural life. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. How much of our time do we worry about what's going to happen tomorrow? Oh, my soul, why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Don't let your heart be troubled. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Cast all your care upon me. We're just covered up with all kinds of assurances and hope. And it's all the love of God for us. We're just sinners, and he gives us all of these things. Principalities or power, things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth. Or any other creature. What other creature is there? I don't know. But wherever he's at, shall be able, rendered powerless, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I believe I can lay down and go to sleep tonight, Brother Lowell. As far as anxious and worried. I needed this. I believe in lay down and go to sleep. If I don't wake up, that's all right. If I do, that's all right. And I've got one more verse. I've already quoted this half a dozen times, but I'll quote it again. I'll read it to you. And I'm going to say this to you as your pastor, as your friend. This is what the Lord said to me and to you. I'm going to say this. Then we're going to go home. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, don't you? Sure you do. The Lord said, believe also in me, that man Christ Jesus, he who loved us. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I wouldn't lie to you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. No, he did, didn't he? Went to Calvary. Went to the cross. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Oh, he's coming again. But he's already come to some of us in regeneration. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord Jesus stood by the tomb of Lazarus, by Mary and Martha. He stood among them. And he wept. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Behold, how he loves us.